story. And it's the story not just about people, but it's about God's love for us, the greatest love of all, the greatest love the world's ever known. The love that we speak of in John 3:16, for God so loved, so loved. And here we see it in drama. Here we see it portrayed in a real life situation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read now in chapter 3 from the book of Ruth. We've been making our way through, and we're going to see another part of the story unfold as we come now to chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking, and it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for this time of year, once again, when we can celebrate Christ's birth. Thank you for all the lovely songs of the season. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful song we just heard, and that we can call him our Lord and our Savior. Father, we thank you that he came to save the lost. His very name, Jesus, means Savior. And thank you that you sent him on that mission to redeem us, to save us from our sins. And Lord, our prayer today is that all of us may know in our heart that we are truly saved, trusting in Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Should there be anyone here throughout the day, even in this service, that has not yet trusted Christ as Savior, may this be the opportunity, the time when they open their heart to Christ and trust Him now and forever. Thank you again for your marvelous Word, how you speak constantly through it and powerfully. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Teach us things from this wonderful love story and how it portrays your love for us in sending your Son. And once again, Father, we lift up the needy to you today. We pray for the Bailey family. We pray also for Mr. Johnson, Lord, that you would bless him and all others who are struggling or in need. Pour out your grace upon them, dear Father. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We see coming into play here a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. And there's an awful lot of jokes, you know, about mother-in-law. I might, for the joy of the season, tell a couple real quick ones. You like mother-in-law jokes? Well, these are a couple of good ones. One fella called the police. He said, "Somebody has tried to run over me." They said, "Well, do you have any idea who it is or who it was?" And he said, "Well, I know for sure who it was." They said, "Well, who was it?" "It was my mother-in-law." They said, "Well, how do you know it was your mother-in-law? Is it dark out there now? And how do you know it was her?" He said, "I'd recognize that laugh anywhere." You know, at times I'm thought about that one. I can just see her peeling out in the gravels, can't you? Oh, my goodness gracious. And then there's the old line. You know the difference between in-laws and outlaws, don't you? Outlaws are wanted. Enough said about the mother-in-law. This is a beautiful story about a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And what a tremendous love story it is. And now it's going to get really good. You ladies know what I mean. You like love stories? Now's the really getting good part in chapter 3. And we've already covered the first couple of chapters, and I'm not going to go back and review all of that, but just a quick summary here as to where it started and where we are. First of all, there was a famine in Bethlehem. House of bread, that's what Bethlehem means. They had to go to Moab to find food and just to eke out a living. And so while they were there, they find this woman, Ruth. She comes into the family. So you have the famine, and now the family, Ruth is in this family. And then you have three funerals. Ruth lost her husband. Her sister-in-law, Orpah, lost her husband. And then Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech. They all died. What a sad time it was. And yes, we have been sad at what happened up in Connecticut. That breaks our hearts. It also breaks our heart for people here, the Bailey family, having to bury a loved one. Others that either have lost someone this Christmas or a previous Christmas or maybe in the past year. And yes, there is always sadness in parting. And then there was a time when it was a time to go back to Bethlehem because there was food available. And so Naomi goes back. And Ruth says, I'm going with you. She says farewell to her country and her old people, her old culture and her old gods. And she says, I'm going with you. Verse 16 of chapter 1. Tremendous statement in the Word of God. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people be my people, and your God will be my God. That was the pinpoint place and time of her conversion experience. She trusted Christ. And by the way, you who are saved, and I hope all of you are saved, there was a definite time, a point in time, when you trusted Christ. You don't get saved in stages. You don't get saved one day here and another day there. You get saved at a point in time when you trust Christ and you say, I'm going God's way and I give my life without reservation to Him. That's what happened to Ruth, and it needs to happen to every one of us. And that brought her back to Bethlehem with the mother-in-law, Naomi. And chapter 2 tells us about going out into a field. And here she is going out to try to find some leftovers of grain, the harvest time. And the law was that people in need could go out and gather as much as they could find that was left over from the reapers or the harvesters. And so she goes out into the field, and as God would have it, she goes into a part of the field of Boaz, and we've been introduced to him already, and he's going to play a prominent part in the story now in chapter 3. This fellow named Boaz, and he is going to end up actually marrying Ruth, this Moabite woman who's now a widow. And what a tremendous story it is. Now, there are a couple of things at work here that we need to keep in mind, or we get lost in some of these details. One I've already told you, and that was the law of gleaning. How that Ruth and others who were needy, widow women, the poor, orphans, and so forth, there was a law in God's Word that He specifically made provision for these kind of people. It was called the law of gleaning. And basically, gleaning means leftovers. So they had the right and the privilege under law, they were protected, to go out in the fields and get what they could after all the harvest had been brought in. But there's another law going to be at work now, and it is the law of the kinsman redeemer. The law of the kinsman redeemer. I want you to turn back and just get a glimpse of this in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 25. I'm going to read a couple of verses that I think will help set the stage for what we're about to see, what we just read and what we're about to see in the book of Ruth. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and look, if you will, at verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, My husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face, and shall answer and say, So shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. So here we have this law laid down, known as the law of the kinsman redeemer. And what this was all about was to preserve the family line. Elimelech is dead, and now Ruth's husband is dead. And so for the family line to continue on, the near of kin needs to come alongside to Ruth's aid. And part of that was actually to marry her and to provide for her as a good husband would. And so knowing this law, this provision, Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to go and to basically make herself available in a legitimate way, in a very customary way, make herself available to this person named Boaz, who was near of kin. And so we see that play out here in chapter 3, the approach to Boaz. It's a beautiful love story, and all of his pictures, Christ in his love for us and how he comes to our rescue. He is our redeemer. He is also our kinsman. Remember, it's the law of the kinsman redeemer. A person who did this kind of thing, who came to the rescue of a poor widow, had to be first of all related. Then he had to be ready, that is, willing to do the part. And then he had to be able. He could not live in poverty himself. And so Boaz is the perfect picture. He's related, he's willing, and he's able. He's a mighty man of wealth. And all of this pictures our loving Lord, doesn't it? That's why he came to earth. He came to be one of us, to be related to us, to become flesh and bone. And the only thing that Jesus did not experience, as we all experience as human beings, is one thing. What is that one thing? It's sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he lived a fully human life. He's related to us. He's willing, and he is able to redeem us. So let's look at this story and see in the story ourselves and how it plays out in our own life and in our own redemption. Notice, first of all, we're just going to walk through this chapter if we could. And first of all, let's notice Naomi's advice. Well, it's a perfect example, ladies. We appreciate this so much in you. Naomi has intuition. A woman's intuition. She knows that now is the time, and now is the opportunity. And the old saying, strike while the iron's hot, now is the time. As we see Naomi, this wonderful mother-in-law, all jokes aside, playing the matchmaker for Ruth, her daughter-in-law. She, of course, knows the law that we've just referred to in Deuteronomy. And when she says in verse 1, my daughter, she doesn't call her daughter-in-law. They're closer than that. She's more like a real daughter. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? And she's talking about the rest of marriage, the security, the safety of marriage. And that's what it would be for Ruth. She would have somebody to take care of her, somebody to protect her, somebody to watch over her and to give her the things that she needed in life, love and protection and comfort and all those things. And that's what marriage is supposed to be for any family or for any woman. There should be security and safety and rest. And as that word rest implies, peace. So she says, there is a man that's related to us, and his name is Boaz, the same one that you were gleaning in his field. And he's related to us. And he's going to be down in the threshing floor, that is, working there as farmers do, threshing out the grain. And so she gave her some good advice and said, now's the time. You ought to go down there and make yourself available and let him know that you're interested in him playing the part, the role of the kinsman redeemer. That is to take you under his care, and actually you're going to give him the opportunity. You're not going to force yourself on him, but you're going to give him the opportunity to become your redeemer and to marry you. Now notice this, ladies and gentlemen, you can appreciate this too. Notice the good advice that she gives in verse 3. First things first, she says, first of all, you need to clean up. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Wash thyself, therefore. And then you want to smell good, so anoint thee. That is, put on some good perfume, something that smells good. And then dress up. So that's all good advice, wouldn't you agree? Clean up, smell pretty, dress up. And then maybe the best advice at all there in verse 3 is, wait till he's finished eating. Don't put romance before supper, you know. So all of this is good common sense. And we appreciate a mother-in-law that takes all that into account. And so it begins by this good advice from Naomi. Then we notice in verses 5 through 9 what we might call Ruth's approach. She followed the advice to the letter. It says she did all that her mother-in-law bade her, verse number 6. And so she waited her time, waited till supper was over, waited till he was gone into the threshing floor, and he was at the end of the heap of corn and so forth. And then she approached in a humble way and was making herself available to claim her as wife and to do the duty, the privilege actually, of becoming the kinsman redeemer. Now, all this may seem strange in our way of thinking about her asking that he spread the skirt over his handmaid, and because he was a kinsman. But we have to remember this was exactly what God had done, and he said so, toward his people Israel. I'd like to read a verse that sheds some light on this. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8. It's what God says through the prophet about his own people. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee. God's saying that. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. So all of this seems strange to our ears and our way of thinking, but this was like a request to be considered a bride. And so this is the approach. Very tactful, very tasteful, and very appropriate in that day. Now, that brings us to Boaz's acceptance. And this is where he says, yes, I will do exactly what you want me to do. We read part of that in verses 10, 11, and 12, where he says, don't fear, I'm going to do everything that you've asked for, because I know you're a virtuous woman. It's been shown to me. But then he says in verse 12, notice this, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Well, that was kind of a wrench in the works. There's somebody closer of kin to you than I am. Now, how did Boaz know that? Because he'd done his homework. Remember, he's already cast his eye on Ruth. He's already kind of got an eye for her, and he loves her already. But he says, there's somebody that has the first shot, basically. There's somebody that has the first claim upon doing this. But he says, I'm going to pursue it, and if this man won't do it, then I will do it. Let's read on further, verse 13. Verse 13. Tarry this night, that is, wait, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. You couldn't say it any stronger. That is to bring God's name into this equation and say, God is my witness. As sure as God lives, I'll do this. Lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. Once again, he's taking care of her. But what we see here is a picture of a man who's doing this not out of duty, but out of love. And let's never forget, the Lord was under no obligation to be our kinsman redeemer. He did what he did coming into this world as a baby born of the virgin, to live among men and then to die on the cross and all that he did that he might qualify to be our redeemer. But he did it not out of duty. He did it not because he had to do it. He did it not because it was just the will of God and it was foreordained. We know all that, but we know he did it because he loved us so. That's why this is such a beautiful story. Boaz wants to do it, and yet he says, I've got to check. I've got to see if this other fella wants to do it. And if not, you can bank on it, I will do it. So we have his acceptance. He was actually honored to do this and welcome the opportunity. Did you know that the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is honored to be our Savior? Nothing honors Him more than to be our Redeemer. It's the very purpose why He came, that He might take us unto Himself. And then we see one last touch in this story, beginning in verse 16, and that is Naomi's word of assurance to Ruth, her daughter-in-law. Notice what she says, verse 16. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her, that is all that Boaz had done and what he had said. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. That was a smart thing to do. Take something for your mother-in-law. He's concerned for her too. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. This was exactly what Ruth needed to hear. Ruth had done all she could do. She made herself available. She basically cast herself at his feet in mercy, asking for mercy, asking that he would take her as the law provided. She could do no more. And Naomi said, Just rest. He'll take care of it. In other words, he's true to his word. You've done all you can do. Now trust him to do what he can do, and he'll do it. And you know, when it comes to salvation, that's exactly what you and I have to do. We take God at his word, don't we? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe that God says he will redeem us, he will take us to himself, he will make us a part of his family if we'll present ourselves in the right spirit, that is, humbly, just like Ruth did, dependent, needy, just casting ourselves on His mercy. And then what we have to do is trust Him to do what only He can do. Trust Him to do His part. And that's really the way we live our lives right now. You see, redemption is something that happened at the moment we trusted Christ. Yes, our soul was redeemed, but the Bible says that we're awaiting the redemption of our body. That is, redemption is not, the final chapter is not played out. The final chapter of redemption is not going to play out until the Lord comes for us or calls us home. And then we're going to be totally, completely, fully redeemed. We're going to be with the bridegroom, and the Lord's going to be with His bride. But until then, we've got to do the very same thing that Ruth did. Just wait. Trust. Depend. And have the assurance to know he's never broken a promise. He's a man true to his word. He's a gentleman. He's a man of honor. And so he will do exactly what he said. I love the word that she used here in verse 18. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know what God begins? He finishes, doesn't he? And when I got saved, when you got saved, he began a good work in us. Paul writes to the Philippians, he said, I am confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. That's exactly what he's talking about. Redemption begun is redemption completed, because we know the one in whom we have trusted. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, it's a beautiful picture of redemption. It's a beautiful picture of your love for us. And that you sent your Son to be one just like us, that he might qualify to be our kinsman redeemer. What tremendous love that is. Love beyond words. Love beyond measure. Father, help us to rest in our Redeemer. Help us, Lord, to trust in our Redeemer if we've never done that. And once we've trusted, help us to rest in His promise, rest in His provision, rest in His power, His ability to do what He promised to do. Lord, there may be someone here today who needs to take that first step to do what Ruth did, in effect, to say, I need you. Please take me to yourself. Please save me, redeem me. Help them to do that right now, Lord. Help them to do that, to trust you, just to lift up a simple prayer from their heart this very moment. Thank you again for your marvelous grace. Have your way now in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.